good, please. Hello, yeah, parties, Sobo, this week, Brooklyn, of ours, Dibble and Dallard, and the shared element for a first labour for the Yolga, Rochel, Martin.
Right, that's just Hashem Shavira for Shalema. Right.
Right,
so now we are in the month of Elul. Elul, Ani, the Doidi Li, with the special atmosphere that there is coming towards Rosh Hashanah, increasing our avoda in all kinds of different ways. And today it's Yud Beis Elul, the 12th of Elul. And next Shabbos is going to be Chai Elul. And Chai Elul is spoken of as given a chayas, gives a chayas in Elul, a chayas in the Avodah of Elul. And the specific quality of Chai Elul, it's the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov, the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov, and also of Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Lavi. So I want to try to look a little bit at these two figures with the idea of how this can help us in the Avodah of Elul. So if we look at this page first, it's So the first one where it says Keser Shem Tov.
It says what?
Keser Shem Tov, here. We got two pages with three different texts. So where it says Keser Shem Tov, that is part of a letter by the Baal Shem Tov. And it's actually a letter that he wrote himself, or his secretary wrote for him, and he signed it. And it's a letter to his brother-in-law, Reb Gershon of Kutiv, and Reb Gershon Kitova, and who was then living in Yerushalayim, was a great person in himself, a Mekubal. And the Baal Shem Tov wrote to him a very fascinating experience that he had on Rosh Hashanah. You see where we are? It's this text, the text saying Keser Shem Tov. And he speaks about something that he experienced on Rosh Hashanah, as it says right at the beginning, B'Rosh Hashanah Shnas Tov Kuv Zayin. So Tov Kuv Zayin is 5507. So 5507, the English date would be 1746, because Rosh Hashanah is in September, October. So 1746, the autumn of 1746, Rosh Hashanah, then the Baal Shem Tov had this very spiritual experience. 5507. So we're now 5777.
270 years old.
Exactly, right. 270.
Yeah,
exactly.
Except we're going to be in Rosh Hashanah. So, yeah, so it's 271. 271. So this event was what is called an Aliyas HaNeshama. Now, that's a very mystical concept. It is described in a kind of sefer called Pirkei Heichelus, which talks about great people like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, also in Chagiga Perik Beis, where it's at the moment we're looking at this text. Yeah. In Chagiga Perik Beis, where it talks about Arbon Nichnasu, Tana Rabbanon Arbon Nichnasu Lepades, and it speaks about Rabbi Akiva and three other people entering Pades, that is a similar kind of experience, where the neshama goes to higher levels, and it's something very, very deep. Now, what happened with the Baal Shem Tov? ascending to these higher levels, first of all, he meets a lot of neshamas. We'll just read a little bit. Osisi hashva barosh hashana shnas tovkov zayin. Osisi hashvas aliyas haneshama. It's called a hashba, making the neshama rise higher. Kiyuduloch, as you know, he's writing to Rav Gershon Kutava, knows about this kind of thing. V'ri'isi dvorim nifloim b'mare, I saw remarkable things. Mashaloiro isi adheno miyoim omdi al baiti. So it's amazing things. And he speaks about many neshamas. And the thing about these neshamas was, they were in a very great state of simcha, and they wanted to ascend higher. They wanted to climb higher. That's what we talk about when a neshama leaves the world. After 120 years, we speak about, on the yotzeit, we speak about the neshama should have an aliyah. The desire of the neshama is to ascend to a higher level. And for that, for the neshama to ascend to a higher level, well, where what we see in this letter is the way in which the Baal Shem Tov himself, his neshama, even though he was alive and he was here in this world, his neshama had a role in helping them to ascend to a higher level. And this is really something which helps us relate. We're trying to take this not as a history lesson, and not as a study of Jewish mysticism, but we're trying to apply it to our avodah on Rosh Hashanah, and coming up to Rosh Hashanah, is that the whole, all the neshamas of Am Yisrael are connected together. And we are helped by the neshamas of the great tzaddikim, whether we know about it or we don't know about it, the neshamas of the great tzaddikim help us in our avodah, and they help lift us
because
up.
Because we're one of them. We're part of them.
That's right. We're all part of one thing together. And so, one unity together. That's why, I think it brings it in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, interestingly, but it's something the Arizal said to do. At the beginning of davening, to say, Hareini Mekabel, Alay mitzvah sase shel v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha. It's in the Chabad Siddur, that's printed at the beginning of the Siddur, but I think it's a general thing. I believe the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch mentions it as an idea. The concept of feeling that we are one unity together. We, Am Yisrael, we're one unity together. Every single Jew, whether they are from or not yet from, but they're all connected together. All of them are bonded together by the neshama, by their neshamas, and as it says in Tanya, Perik Lamed Beis, and also in Perik Beis, where it talks about all the unity of the neshamas. And so here, the neshamas are rising higher because of the Baal Shem Tov's inspiration. And then the Baal Shem Tov, a famous...
You mean to say you have no right to pray for the individuality of yourself, which you are on this world?
Well, we do, but our identity as a human being is a corporate identity,
yeah,
together with every other Jew.
I don't pray for the whole Neshamas together. I pray that God should elevate my Neshamas and bring me to a higher understanding of Yiddishkeit. I know in the spiritual sense, when my body is not there, I become a spirit and I become part of the co-created body. But as I'm on this world, I am part of an individual body of myself.
Yes, but you see, well, that's a, I can understand.
You're locked together with everybody
else. You're locked together. At the moment, I am a human being and I feel my individuality when I'm talking about Shnissi.
We feel
you. You know, that's a very good point, but... that's a very good point. But in fact, we are bonded. Yisrael Ravim Zelazer, and one of the ways of explaining that, we're not only pledges for each other, but we're Mu'uravim Zebazer. And that is an explanation of why, when the would-be Ger came to Hillel and said, "Tell me the whole Torah while I stand on one foot." And Hillel said the equivalent of Mada alachsani l'chavro chal taived, what you don't like, don't do to anyone else, which in effect is for after the recha k'mosho. Why should that be the whole Torah?
Yeah.
Why is that the whole Torah? What about Shabbos, Kashrus, Limud HaTorah? Why does Hillel reduce the whole Torah to that principle? So the Tzemach Tzedek gave an explanation. Because we are all intermingled together, if you love another person and you want to do good to that other person, that means also you will help that person keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. So the fact that we are all integrated together is something which bonds us through every single mitzvah of the Torah. The old mashal, the Musa mashal, that everyone is in a boat together, and one person wants to drill a hole under his seat, and the other people say, "What are you doing?" And he says, "It's all right, it's just my seat." So, but obviously we're all in the boat together. So there's a Musa appreciation of exactly the same concept. We're all one together. Now, on the top of the second
column. There's no concept of mind your own business in Yiddishkeit, you understand?
That's right. There's no concept of mind your own business. That's right. Now, so then comes the second column. We have a famous concept that the Baal Shem Tov met Mashiach, and where Mashiach is there, if you look at the fifth line down.
Where?
On the second column, on this page where it says Keser Shem Tov, he's come into the Heichel of Mashiach, where Mashiach learns Torah with the Tanoim and the Tzadikim and the Shiva Royim, says at the bottom of the right-hand column. And then, V'sha'alti espi Mashiach, Amos Osima, I asked Mashiach, when are you coming? V'heishiv b'zois teda, he said, when your teachings become famous, what I've taught you, and other people will also be able to do yichudim. Now, what does it mean doing yichudim? Who does yichudim? The Baal Shem Tov is a source of inspiration for people as individuals, quite beyond the Hasidic movement as such. The many aspects of the Baal Shem Tov's teaching, the Avos Yisrael, the positive way of looking at things, the idea that if there's something negative, it can be transformed into something positive, that is something that spread far beyond the Hasidic movement. But also, there is the Hasidic movement itself. And in the Hasidic movement is the remarkable relationship of a Rebbe with a Chassid. And that is when he says about Yehudim. Yehudim is something in Kabbalah, but what concept is it? It's the idea of neshamas being joined together. That idea of joining neshamas together, a group of Hasidim with the Rebbe has a commitment to those Hasidim which goes beyond anything ordinary in Seichel terms. It's a bond on the level of neshamas. Well, the idea of Chassid is a hiskashus to the Rebbe, whichever Rebbe, and with the connection to the Rebbe, there's a certain transaction. It's like an extra linking together. People are climbing up a mountain, even in Gashmias, a common phenomenon, they link themselves together with a rope. And you have to be on that rope in order that if one person stumbles, then the leader can give a pull and help the person get back on their feet. Well, chas v'shalom. So what you do, a mountain climbing, you tie a bit of rope around the rock so that if someone falls... Well, so there is the power of the klal and the power of spiritual leadership that it's able to take that
pull.
To take the stress.
What I don't understand is, how is it possible for the Rishonim to come down and learn with people there? Teure Leib Shemaimi. It's not, once they passed on, they have no shaykh the way we have to Teure, the way we have to Teure. We can use Teure to connect to them, but I don't think they can connect. How can they learn Teure with us? They have no shaykhs with Torah anymore, which I don't understand.
They do learn Torah, but they can't paskin Torah. Paskining of Torah, although even it's a very interesting Gemara about There was a machlokes in the Masifta Derekia. The Masifta Derekia said one thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said something else. So they needed Rabba Bar Nachmani in order to paskan which way the halacha go. It's a bit something about the dinim of tzaras. But the funny thing is that Rabba Bar Nachmani had to pass away in order to come into a higher world, and then he gave us p'sak din. But so it's an interesting thing. That's right, yeah, in Beheres Kogma, that's right. So then there is a piece of advice that the Baal Shem Tov gives that every one of us is able to use in our davening during the month of Elul and coming into Rosh Hashanah. And this piece of advice we have a little bit further down.
Second column.
In the second column. And it is 2/3 of the way down. Sorry?
You got little dots on it. You made it.
There's a little dot. Okay, so if you go one line higher than the first dot. Yeah, there's a little dot. Go one line higher. Be'ez tefillah sechel. The Baal Shem Tov says to Rav Gershon Kutuva, and he's saying to us, Be'ez tefillah sechel v'limudecho. At the time when you daven and when you learn Torah, V'chol dibu v'dibu u'moitzeh s'vasecho, every word you say, every word that comes out of your mouth, techaven liyached, you should have the kavona, you should know that there's something very spiritual taking place. We come to shul, we daven, there's a minyan, baruch hu, but there's a very spiritual thing taking place. Why? Ki b'chol os v'os, because in every single letter, Yesh olamos, there are spiritual worlds, like the worlds, the olamos that it speaks about in Hasidus, Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, Atzilus, higher and higher spiritual worlds in every letter. And not only worlds, they're neshamas. And there's pure elokus as well. And they're the words of the davening that we are davening. It's a very interesting thing. Do you ever reflect? When we say the words of the davening, we're saying words that have been said for thousands of years. Millions of Yidden over the years have been saying these words, and we're saying those words with them. It's a haunting thought. It's a very beautiful thought.
Awesome.
And there we are. We're part of this tremendous Klal Yisrael, this Knesset Yisrael, which the Chachomim explain is like the Shechinah here in this world, the presence of Hashem in this world, the unity of the Neshamas of the Yidden, the Torah that we learn, the davening, and what happens to these letters? They climb higher, they connect together, they're unified one with another. And the letters bond together, and it becomes a word. And they all join up and connect with Hashem. It's as if the davening is like a moving escalator moving up to Hashem. And we step on the escalator and we're moving up to Hashem, and as we're saying the words, it's a very, very powerful concept.
That's even if we don't understand the real connection, we are still getting nearer to Hashem.
We're certainly getting nearer to Hashem, but the more that we do understand it, and the more that we have a sense of kavona in the idea that we are conscious, that we are davening to Hashem, and it's a very spiritual thing that is happening.
Meditation in tefillah at the same time.
That's right. Yeah, it's a thing to think about.
At the same time what I'm done.
Yes, yes, yeah. And that's
something definitely in the Jewish way of life, not Goyish. We consider it, some people consider meditation Goyish.
I don't use the word meditation, I use the word hisboinenus or kavona. This is a kavana. This is a way of thinking about, this is a way of
connecting to God.
Connecting to Hashem, and if a person has this in mind when they're davening,
that's every minute of your day as well.
Well, yes, it's interesting. So the Loshen here, v'chol dibu v'dibu, every word that comes out of your mouth, speech is holy.
Yeah.
And we should be very careful with speech. And the Chaim B'movitz v'yad ha-Loshen. There's a tremendous power, and we have to be aware of that as well. So, and then he goes on, V'sichlo nishmoscha imoim b'chol b'chino b'chino. You should feel that your neshama is joined together with them in every single aspect of this. Mehanal u'misyachdim kol ha'olam es ke'echod. And everything is joined together. V'olam v'naseh simcha v'tayinu gadol. It becomes a tremendous simcha. Your davening with kavona is a cause of tremendous simcha because b'shvili nivra ha'olam. Each one of us is chayv to say, for my sake, the world was created. And the fact that a person is here in this world, you, I, anyone, and each one of us is davening to Hashem at that moment, now learning Torah, thinking Torah, walking in the street and thinking about something that we were learning, there is a tremendous sense of connection with Hashem. And that is such a tremendous simcha. An infinite joy. You imagine the simcha of a chosen kala, the joy of a chosena. That joy is, and is infinitely more than that joy, is the joy of the coming together with Hashem through our davening and our learning. So that is a little teaching from the Baal Shem Tov, written himself. There are kisrei yad of this. It's one of them is in the possession of the Rebbe of Husyatin, and that was written by the Baal Shem Tov's son-in-law and signed by the Baal Shem Tov. It might be the Baal Shem Tov wrote this letter twice, because he wrote it to his brother-in-law, then he realized a few years later his brother-in-law hadn't received it, so he wrote a second version. So the Hesyatin Rebbeim, they have a copy, or that copy. It was went through Rabbi Yisrael of Koznitz. He had it, and then it came down. There's the Hishtalshlus. Because the Hesyatin Rebbe went in the 1930s yes, so to Eretz Yisrael, okay, and he brought it with and saved it.
What I want to say is, in the beginning of this letter, it starts that there is a, he was Elisa Lamala, the Baal Shem went to Elisa Lushanshom Gidur, Rishi Dwurm Lefloim. He saw the Fluim. How did he go Lamala? He meditated, or how?
That he uses the word Hashbar. Okay. He says to Reb Gershon Kudava, I did Hashbos, Aliyas, and Hashama ke Yadua Lecha. So it's a whole technique that the Mukubalim know, and I don't know.
Yeah, but no, what I know is, I mean, if I'm connecting and thinking about God, I'm going to see it, and I'm thinking Angel Milvadri, and their future is not ours to see, the future belongs to the Boinstrom and everything else. Am I connecting to this Master to God, Abada?
You're connecting to Hashem, Abada. You're not connecting in the way that he was. Okay. This is a completely different thing outside our experience.
So you think that he has to be an Ahaya Sotmatrega to connect to God?
Yeah. In this particular way, yeah. Aliyas and Hashem is a different thing. A Rebbe, you know, a certain Rebbe.
Yeah, but we say that. Really, it's a possibility for every Jew to do it.
I don't know that we'd be able to take it.
Alright. It's a very severe procedure.
Well, you see the danger in Chagiga Perik Beis. The second Perik of Chagiga in the Gemara tells us about the Abosh Nichnas of the Pardes and how it was a very dangerous experience.
Absolutely right.
Yeah,
absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Rabbi Akiva, Nichnas v'shalom v'yotze v'shalom. All right. Now, so there we have the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov is one person. His birthday is Chai Elul, and which is next Shabbos Chodesh, and we can understand how Chai Elul gives a Chayas in Elul. Now, I'd also like to take another person who has birthday on Chai Elul, is Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Ladi. And if we turn over the page that we've been looking at, we have a page from Rabbi Shneur Zalman's Shulchan Aruch, which was his earlier work that he wrote when he was still in the lifetime of the Mezritch of Magid. The Magid of Mezritch told him to write a Shulchan Aruch. And the point about his Shulchan Aruch, it takes into account all the Mefoshim. You see, we've got the Tor, and then we've got the Beis Yosef's commentary on the Tor. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Beis Yosef on the Tor. explaining the halacha, first of all, where the Torah gets everything from, and giving the analysis of the halacha, how it applies. Then the Beis Yosef wrote his own Shulchan Aruch, which is taking the concepts of the Beis Yosef commentary and putting them in a brief form as instructions, and that is the Arba, the four sections of the Shulchan Aruch, following the order of the Torah. And then we have commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. For example, there's the Magen Avraham. And so, and various other commentaries that you have on the page of the Shulchan Aruch when you open the Shulchan Aruch. So then, Rabbi Shneur Zalman is writing a new edition of the Shulchan Aruch that's supposed to take into account all the commentaries since the Beis Yosef, since the Heilige Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote his Shulchan Aruch, which is in the middle of the 16th century, and now we're in the middle of the 18th century, and so 200 years later, so he is writing a new version of the Shulchan Aruch, incorporating the previous discussion. Now the truth is, he wrote this following the Magen Avraham quite closely, and then he decided to write a new version, of which he didn't get very far. He only wrote four simonim, and this new version was supposed to be more according to the Mekubalim than the Magen Avraham. Now, it's very interesting that the way in which he wrote it, the first version, he follows what the Shulchan Aruch says at the beginning, which is Yiskabe Ka'ari, something like that. The waking up in the morning, you should be very alert, wake up in the morning. But in his second version, he goes back to what the Torah had. The Torah begins, Yehuda ben Tema Oimer Have Oz Kanome. Now that's a very interesting concept. Have Oz Kanome. And that's there in the Torah, and it's there in Pirkei Avos. But the Torah puts it as the very beginning of his Shulchan Aruch.
The keynote.
Now, why do we have to be Oz Kanome? Let's have a look. Yehuda ben Tema Oimer Have Oz Kanome Bekal Kanesha Rotz Ketzvi Vegiba Ka'ari Lasos Ritzoyne Vicha Shebeshemayim. That's what we have in Pirkei Avos. Oz Kanome. What does Oz Kanome mean? Strong as a, bold as a leopard. Right?
Brazen.
Yes, brazen.
Brazen has a derogatory.
Well, we need that as well. Shaloi lehisbayish mipnei bnei odom hamaligim. Not to be embarrassed if people are making fun, you still go straight ahead. You're doing something right. And people, in one way or the other, are ridiculing this or making fun or something like that, whether we are living in a non-Jewish society or a secularized Jewish society, whatever it might be, holding to one's principles, and that is something, that is the theme of Yiddishkeit today. Loi lehisbayish mipnei bnei odom hamaligin. That's that strength. That Oz Kanome. Now, it's true that brazen can have a negative quality, and so one has to be careful that it's in the right way, and that it doesn't divide one off from people in a negative way. But nonetheless, this is a very important philosophy. It's the ethos of Haredi Yiddishkeit, being strong in Yiddishkeit, whatever anyone says around. And so that principle, so that is that's another aspect of our Avodah coming up through the days of Elul towards Rosh Hashanah. Yes?
If there was a Babbitcher Maggid, this and down Lerner before the war, used to say, Aze ponim le gehinim, have you heard this one? No. Unze bochrim, afilo ne gehinim kenze gehin. Our bochrim can go into a hell.
Very nice.
Down, the whole thing.
Very nice one. That's a very nice one. Yeah. Let's now. Right. So now let's turn to another page. If we look at another page, Now this is page Kufkaf over here, if you want one. Now this is a letter that Rabbi Shneur Zalman sent to members of his community. And he's talking about the way in which there is a flow of life force. The way in which the world exists is by a flow of life force coming from Hashem into the world, making it be here. So everything around, everything in front of us and around us is being kept in existence by a flow of energy from Hashem all the time. Now what he explains in this letter is that this force of energy is something which has a cycle to it. Now I just want to I tell you what, if we look on the page where it says 240, which is in the middle of the letter, let's start at the top of the letter. She ain't soft for ain kates. There is no limit. Lemailus ugdulus over hachayus to the greatness of the radiance and the life force hanimshach mimeni yisborach, which flows from Hashem yisborach. Umachochmosoi, from his infinite wisdom, beilui acha ilui, higher and higher, adain kates, infinitely, v'tachlis, haruma mailas, lemaila maila. In other words, the flow of life force has got an absolute infinite source. Ubechol, now, here's the crucial thing about Rosh Hashanah. That's the fourth line down on the page where it says 240. Ubechol shana v'shana, every single year, Yoyred umeyem mechoch me'eloh, there descends and shines from the upper wisdom of Hashem, O chodosh umechudosh, an absolutely new radiance, Sheloy hayomeyem adayin me'olam, which never previously shone, La'aretz al-yoyna, to the upper realm, the upper aretz, which is the sphere of Malchus, from where it comes to our human realm. Ki or kol shana v'shana mistalik l'shoshoy, because the radiance that was keeping the previous year, 5777, in existence, that radiance is going to go back to its root, v'chol erev Rosh Hashanah. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, kesha'achodesh miskaseboy, when the moon is hidden, the moon symbolizes the life force, the spiritual life force which is flowing. And on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the moon is hidden. It's the end of the month, the end of the lunar month. V'achakach, and after that, al yedei tekiyas shofar, through the blowing of the shofar, v'hatfilos, and the davening from our heart, bearing in mind what we read in the previous passage about davening, nimshach o chodesh elyoin, there comes down a new radiance, miprina elyoin yosef, from a higher level, shebemadregas chochma elah, from the level of chochma, the upper chochma, lohoi laoritz elyoin v'ladorim oleya, to shine down to the sphere of Malchus, the upper Eretz Yisrael, and then to all those qualities which take existence, Heim Kola Olamos Elyonim Masachtonim, all the worlds, including our worlds, Hamakabrim Chayus Mimeno. So in other words, every Rosh Hashanah, there is a new step. We are reaching towards Hashem with our blowing of the shofar and with our davening, the intensity, and it draws down this new radiance.
Hashpah.
A new hashpah, yes. Now, if we move a few lines later, just there's some brackets. If we move just after the brackets, uba prote proteus, and in more detail, kein hu bechol yoyim v'yoyim. So it is every single day when we daven. Nimshachin moichin el yoyin yoyseh. We get a new flow into our mind. Bechol tfilas hashachar. Every time we daven shachris, We're getting something new from Hashem. There's a new availability of something that we never had before. It's not the same. You see, when you're davening, you're in a certain inspired state. And then after davening, you know, we should bring the inspiration into limud haTorah by learning Torah after davening. And then there is derech eretz, there's being in the world. And so the inspiration dies down. So the next day, when the person davens, is it a reawakening of the old inspiration? What he's saying here, we've got the opportunity, it can be something higher. Ragvoyin yoyse, it's something higher. V'derech klal b'klalas olam b'shis al feshtin keinu b'chol Rosh Hashanah v'Rosh Hashanah.
Does this mean we can expect different conduct of human beings? If the light has changed, does that mean different directions are evident? Signposts pointing in different directions?
Should people be improving? You would expect people to be improving. And they seem not to be improving.
They say that by the tefillahs, you shouldn't have any kavunas of the tefillah, you should have kavunas of the word, just the words you're saying, and that's it, mushra. Because you don't understand the kavunas of tefillah are really approaching and trying to say. You say them as a man believes in God and says it. But I can't say, oh God, I'm asking for this. Asking for a solution to the problem is not the answer in Emunah. The answer in Emunah is to believe in God. If you try to give God a solution to the problem, which you think is a solution, that is a lack of Emunah.
Well, they're different directions yeah, because it's a mitzvah saseh, according to the Rambam. It's a mitzvah to daven to Hashem when we have a need. If someone needs refuah shleima,
who says the need is good for you?
Well, that's the mitzvah of the Torah. You know, that's that's a way of looking at it. But in fact, we do in the Shmona Esther, we are asking. There's a whole discussion. You see, the fact that we have a need, means the Shechina has a need. Now we understand it in terms of our problem, but in fact, it's a problem of the Shechina. So when we daven on behalf of the thing that we're davening for here, in a sense, we're davening for the Shechina. The whole concept is, as it says in many Sidurim, L'shem Yichud Kutshu B'richu Shechinte. The whole point is bringing about a unity between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina. And so that is something which will ultimately be realized with the coming of Mashiach. But it's that which we are really davening for, and our individual problems and issues that relates to that, the Shechina, when a person has a problem with his head, so the Shechina says, Kal ni b'roishi, I have a problem with my head, kaviyochu. We're integrated in that sense. But we have to be able to step beyond our immediate problems in order to have an intensity of feeling towards Hashem. So here we have the idea that when we are davening on Rosh Hashanah in particular, there is a new life force coming into the world in a very, very intense way. And he adds that every time we daven, in fact, there is the same process happening, that we're bringing down a new radiance. And he quotes at the bottom of the page, a pasuk, Mereshis Hashanah v'ad Achris Shanah. Now, why does it say Mereshis Hashanah v'ad Achris Shanah? Why doesn't it say L'olam Voed? Because it's a process which goes from the beginning to the end, and then it begins again. And that's why Reishis is Chosa Aleph. The word Reishis doesn't have an Aleph, because to hint at the Histalkus, or the way the radiance goes away in Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Be'ezras Hashem, we should all have, and everyone connected with us, and the whole of Am Yisrael, should have a ksiva b'chasim ha-toiva, l'shana toiva m'sukah. We should be able to bring down the new radiance through our davening, and all the tzaddikim, the great tzaddikim, they will also do this, and we should have a new world with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, with simcha, and in a revealed way.
Amen.